Chapter 8. A New Birth. According to the Bible, every Christian is a walking miracle. He is a new man with a new heart. In short, he is nothing less than a whole new creation. But the newness of regeneration does not stop there. Regeneration is also a new birth. New birth.
Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8.
In this portion of Scripture, we find some of the most wonderful and instructive words ever spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is here we learn that to become a Christian is actually to be born a second time. By describing regeneration in these terms, our Lord draws attention to several important aspects of it. The new birth is radical. Nothing can be more far-reaching or have greater implications for us personally than our own begetting and birth. When we are begotten and born, we begin to exist and live in the natural realm, and nothing is ever the same for us again, forever. So it is in the spiritual realm. When we are born again, we begin to exist and to live in the spiritual world. And for all eternity, nothing will ever be the same for us again. Hallelujah! To be born again is to begin to exist. In short, the new birth is not something added onto our lives. It is life. We begin to live. To say it another way, to be born again is not to get something we did not have before. It is to become someone we never were before. The new birth is at the very root of our existence as Christians. The new birth is a real birth. The new birth is not like a birth. It is a birth. Notice our Lord's words in verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." The new birth is a real birth. Just as something fleshly is born in the physical birth, so something spiritual is born in spiritual birth. That which is born is spirit. In this birth, it is God who fathers us. We are begotten of God. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. John tells us that God's seed, Greek sperma, remains in those who have been born of God. In the words of Peter, we have become partakers of the divine nature. Such terminology is so explicit that we would not dare to use it except that it is the direct teaching of the Word of God. The reality of the new birth has tremendous implications. First of all, it shows us why a true Christian does not live in sin. John tells us in the verse quoted above that a Christian cannot sin. The reason a Christian cannot sin is tracked back to his new birth and the divine nature residing within him. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. The Christian has God's nature in him and therefore cannot stand to live the way he used to live. Any true believer who tries to return to his old ways will ultimately find himself unable to do so. Sin is against his nature. He hates it. Secondly, we learn from the reality of the new birth how every true Christian should view, think about himself. The Christian is no longer a sinner, but a saint. Again, this does not mean that the Christian never sins, or that sin is not enticing to his flesh, but that his true nature, what he really is deep inside, loves God and holiness. That this is actually the case is made obvious by the fact that every true Christian feels miserable and grieved when he does sin. Why does he feel miserable? Precisely because his true nature is to love holiness. Beloved saint, do not let the devil tell you that you are worthless and vile as a Christian. You are a child of God, holy and beloved in his sight. His very nature, seed, is within you, and you bear the family likeness. The new birth is a real birth. The new birth is sovereign. The new birth depends ultimately on God's will, not man's will. All who are born again are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Lord Jesus makes this clear in verse 8. The wind, in Greek, pneuma, wind, spirit, breath, blows where it wishes. The wind blows where it wishes. No man directs it or controls it or stops it from blowing. Even so, the Spirit of God blows where he wishes. This means that the most unlikely person can be saved. Neither the hardest heart nor the most stubborn will can stop the wind from blowing. If there was one person that the early church knew would not be converted, it was Saul of Tarsus. But the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. One gust of the Spirit of God and the man who was formerly breathing threats and murder against believers is now a meek and humble disciple of Christ, asking, "What shall I do, Lord?" The new birth is always a sovereign work of God. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Why is it that I am a Christian and my neighbor is not? There are only two possibilities. Either the explanation lies in man, I was more responsive, I was not so hard-hearted, I sought God of my own initiative, or the explanation lies in God. He chose to blow by his Spirit, softening my hardened heart and making me responsive to his call. The Bible makes it very clear that the latter alternative is the correct one. It does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. In our natural state, there is none who seeks for God. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. As with Ezekiel's valley of dry bones, God has caused breath to enter us that we might come to life. The only reason that any of us is a Christian is that the wind of God sovereignly blew in our hearts. I had no idea when I woke up on the day of my conversion that by bedtime I would be a new creature in Christ Jesus. I was not seeking God. God was not in my thoughts. There was no fear of God before my eyes. But by the end of the day, a miracle had transpired. And I went to bed that night filled with the peace that surpasses all comprehension. And the joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. The wind blows where it wishes. Hallelujah. The new birth is known. The working of the Holy Spirit in regeneration is always known. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, in verse 8. Wind always has movement, life, energy, and sound. This movement may come in the form of a powerful gale that levels everything in its path, or it might come in the form of a gentle breeze that causes one leaf to sway back and forth on a limb. But always, there is movement. If there is no movement, there is no wind. Who has seen the wind? Neither I nor you. But when the leaves hang trembling, the wind is passing through. Who has seen the wind? Neither you or I. But when the trees bow down their heads, the wind is passing by. Christina Rossetti. So it is with the Spirit of God. The movement of God's Spirit is evident by the effects it produces. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes as a mighty gale sweeping 3,000 into the kingdom in a single day. Sometimes he comes as a gentle breeze, opening the heart of one person to respond to the gospel. But the moving of God's Spirit is always known. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The effects of divine activity are visible in the life of every true Christian. The new birth is mysterious. The new birth is mysterious. You do not know where it comes from and where it is going. Verse 8. Again, this element of mystery is invariable in the new birth. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is a very wonderful thing. We do not know who might be next. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we cannot predict how he is going to work. He may save one soul, or he may save 3,000. Those who market the gospel by telephone evangelism claim to be able to predict within a tenth of a percent how many decisions for Christ will be obtained. Such predictability proves only one thing. These converts are nothing more than the products of applied psychology. They are not the work of the Spirit of God. The new birth is mysterious.